And very well-known psalm and very much preached on this psalm. And tonight I want to bring a thought, the privilege of being clean. The privilege of being clean tonight. So if you would, in honor of God's word, let's stand to our feet and we'll read all 10 verses of the chapter of chapter 24 of Psalms and bring that thought to you here tonight concerning the privilege of being clean. The Bible says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Well, that kind of just covers it all, don't it? Everything just belongs to God. "For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O you gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus tonight, and we thank you for the very reading of God's word. We thank you for the very songs that we sung. And God, the people that are here tonight, Lord, come to worship, come to learn. God, come to grow. We pray, Father, tonight, Lord, that all these things will be done for thy glory and for thy honor. Lord, I understand and know, God, that I'm nothing. And Lord, I know I can do nothing without you. And Lord, tonight I'm asking you to fill me and anoint me with your spirit. God, I just fall down here tonight, God, and being fragile and being weak and unable, God, unqualified tonight, God, and we're asking you to help tonight, God, to do something with the preacher, God, that we may be able to preach with power and authority. God, guard our lips and our mind tonight, God. Do something special in our midst. God, we ask you to help us to understand more clearly this thought about prayer tonight and about being clean, and God, how that goes together tonight, and how, Lord, it can be very beneficial, and what a privilege that it is. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight you'll look at the psalm, and you'll find that the psalm is talking about prayer. It's talking about coming into the presence of the Lord. It's talking about ascending into the hill of the Lord there in verse 3. And so we see that it's established in that. And it's about the Lord, of course, tonight. But I want to talk about the privilege of being clean, because if you see there in verse 3, they ask a question, who? All of us tonight is part of who? Every one of us tonight is that group tonight. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in His holy place? We find that in verse 4, it gives the answer to those that can come to the Lord in this manner. He says, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." We find in verse 6 now, it says, "This is the generation." So we find tonight that God is asking a question, and then he answers his own question, and then he classifies it by telling us of a generation. Tonight I would pray that each one of us tonight is of that group, and tonight each one of us is of that generation, that we can find that there in verse 5, it says, "He shall receive the blessing from the Lord." Now tonight, every one of us would want that. I believe tonight, none of us would walk out and say, "God, I don't want the blessing of the Lord. I don't want the righteousness of God upon me." Oh, but tonight, God is giving to it, and he's giving a promise of it. And so tonight, I want you to see, in the way of prayer tonight, of the privilege of being clean. And that is the privilege of being clean tonight, is able to pray, but not only able to pray, but your prayers to come into the throne room of God. But you know your prayers to come into the throne room of God, but God answering your prayer by giving you the blessing of the Lord. Amen. You see, tonight it does us no good if we just pray. I mean, if all our prayers tonight get no higher than this ceiling, then we're wasting our time. What we have is just a form
but no power thereof. What we have is just some ritual. What we have is some tradition tonight, because all we can do, if we are just satisfied tonight and content by just saying, I pray. Tonight, we're in real trouble. Tonight, if I can say, well, you know, what we do at our home, we pray. But it goes farther than that, amen? Our prayer needs to get to God, amen? I mean, what kind of prayer tonight? I mean, what would it be tonight if we would do all that work and of praying and all those words of prayer and all that bowing down and all that that time we take, if the prayers that we pray never ascend into where God is at and never accessed where God is at tonight, what in the world will that accomplish? What would it do tonight? Absolutely nothing. So tonight we need to understand how we're going to pray, and then how we're going to take that prayer and how is it going to ascend unto God, and then how are we going to receive an answer from the Lord when God given us the blessing of God. See, that's important tonight, don't you think? I believe it's important tonight for your family that somebody in your family can actually pray and your prayer can get into the throne room of God and God could take that prayer and hear it, and in return you would receive a blessing of the Lord. That is the ideal of what Christianity is all about tonight, amen? I would say tonight it would be good for our church tonight to find somebody in our midst tonight that could pray and could get a hold of God, and God in return will shall say you can receive the blessing of the Lord. And boy, it would help our church, wouldn't you think? Tonight, wouldn't it be good of our country tonight if us citizens could pray and begin to get a hold of God, and God in return shall receive a blessing of the Lord. I believe it would make a difference in our country tonight, don't you think? I believe tonight there is power in prayer. I believe tonight that there is the hand of God can be moved by prayer. I believe tonight that even the mind, it seems, of God can be adjusted with prayer tonight. I believe tonight that miracles can take place. I believe tonight that salvation of souls can be made by prayer. I believe tonight that things could take place in our homes, in our lives, in our marriages, in our parenting, tonight in our country, that tonight prayer would just fix. Amen. I was listening to some stories concerning prayer, and one of them was about revival. And there's this one this pastor was getting up, and he was talking about, okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to have revival, and we're going to have so-and-so come. He's going to come for a week, and we're going to have a revival meeting, and we're going to have a time to get together and read the scripture, and I'm going to teach on prayer, and I'm going to preach on prayer. And he said, so we're looking for a revival. And this little old lady, she's about 94 years old. She's been in the church a long time. She come up to the pastor and say, hey, pastor. He said, see, I got an idea. He said, what is that? She said, why don't we just pray? I mean, he didn't mention prayer at all. And many times that is our last resort. Amen. I mean, that is not something that we kind of do first. We kind of do last. We do everything else but pray. And so she said, won't we just pray? Won't we just ask God into this thing? Amen. And we found that this was on an island, and this island G. Campbell Morgan was there, and he was the one who preached, and there was revival that took place on this island. And it all started with this little old lady who just said, won't we just ask God to get involved in this thing? And so tonight, I believe prayer is a very important aspect of revival. I believe a prayer is a very important aspect of church. I believe prayer is a very important to your life personally and your family tonight. I'd say, as I listen to, there in Iran, there is multitudes of people being saved that were Muslims. Matter of fact, there's so many Christians now in Iran, too many to be put in prison. Did y'all know that? There is like a spiritual moving going across Iran at this moment. And so people are in there. Of course, there's probably 60 people in prison. Some people get their heads cut off. Some people get their churches burned down or their homes burned down. Or when they do find a church, they do take care of that. It can't be in the open. But there are Christians, and when they put one in, it seems like two get saved. And so the Muslim religion out there, who's as dominant, but Christians are multiplying faster than they can ever imagine. They don't know what's going on out there. And they say, what's happening out there in Iran? And the gospel's being preached, and the more they do to them, the more others get saved. And they put them in prison, people in prison get saved. They put them over here, they get saved. It seems like there is a moving of God in Iran tonight. And so I'm excited about that, amen? And so folks are getting saved. And so some of those people who come out of Iran and they get to come to the United States and to the state churches, they come, and the one thing that they say about this church, not this church, but about churches in America, is there's very little praying in their services. Very little. Because, see, in Iran, when they begin to know God and they begin to look unto God as who God is through Jesus Christ, they'll pray hours. They'll just pray hours after hour after hour, talking to God, getting into the throne room of God, just speaking and just telling Him how grateful they are for the salvation of their souls. How grateful they are for the forgiveness of their sin. Thankful for how they were deceived and how they were blinded by the God of Islam. And now their eyes have been opened. And now they received eternal life through the blood of the Lamb. And they just can't stop praying to the Lord concerning what's taking place in their lives. And even though they're under torture, and even though they're under pressure, and even though they're under difficult situations, and they don't have freedom to worship and freedom to serve God, oh, they are multiplying, and they're praying, and they're praying, and they're praying. You know what we need, church? We need people to pray. But you know, tonight, as we see in the Scripture, I want you to notice the picture of prayer. And we see that there, that picture of prayers in verse 3. Now, I hope I can kind of give you a thought here tonight that would kind of give you an idea when somebody says prayer, what does that really mean? Number one, I think it means tonight access to God's power with words. The Bible says in verse 3, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord?" Tonight we're talking about accessing ourselves to the very power of God. The very power of God. You say, well, how powerful is God? Well, verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's. You can't get no more powerful than that. He said in verse 1, the fullness thereof. That means everything in the earth is His. Then He says, the world, the whole world is His. He says, and they that dwell therein. So all that dwell there are His. Everything in it is His. Everything that He made it with is His. All is His tonight. Then He goes on and says in verse 2, for He hath founded upon the seas and established upon the floods, and He's made the waters, He's made the lands, He got the world, He has the inhabitants. All belongs unto God. And friend, when you say that I pray, what you're saying is I have access to the power of God in words. Amen? And so you say, well, that's sort of like old Mount Zion. And you think about it for just a moment in the word heal. The word heal. Look at Psalms chapter 3 and verse 4. The Bible says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. Amen? And so there's some words that are being spoken. There are some things that are being said, and God has heard him out of their holy hill tonight. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Tonight, where do we need to go tonight in prayer? We need to go to the access to the power of God. Tonight, that's where we need to head to. That's the very thought process of what a picture of prayer is. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith. Amen? The Bible says, into this grace wherein we stand. Tonight, we have a place that you and I can have access to that is the power of God. Whatever tonight that overcomes you, whatever tonight that you must find a fortress in, tonight, whatever you find a refuge in tonight, we have power in prayer. We can, Father, find ourselves tonight coming into the excess of God's power by the way of our words, by the way of our expressions, by what we say, by what we how we communicate with God. It might be through a groaning. It might be through just a quietness. It might be through some words that are verbal. It might be some words that we don't speak outside, but down in our heart, down deep in our soul, we're crying out to God tonight. And a picture of prayer, as I see in the Scripture, is you and I having access to the power of God. Friend, that's something tonight. To come to a God as the Lord, who owns everything, who has power over everything. There's not at all anything in your life tonight that He cannot overcome or that He cannot take over. There's absolutely nothing in all the world tonight that you don't have, you can pray about or come to Him about that He cannot affect or He cannot do. Tonight we serve an all-powerful God, and we can come into His power, friend. You and I can come right there where God says. He says access. We can come to His holy hill. We can come right where He's at and find power for our lives tonight. God can do it. Can God save your spouse? Yes. Can God save your children? Absolutely. Can God give you a job? Oh, most certainly. Oh, tonight, can God remove disease from you? Sure He can. Oh, can He build your finances? Oh, absolutely. See, that's the power of God. And you and I can come right into that power, amen. We can get tuned in on Him. We can get hooked up with Him, amen. Oh, we can get plugged in with God. And God's power can do something in our lives. Prayer tonight in the power of God. Number two, I notice that prayer is a picture in the way that not only do we have access to God's power with words, but we find ascension. We ascend to God's presence in worship. He says that in verse 4, there back into our text, verse 3, I'm sorry, he says, who shall stand in His holy place? And tonight, we're talking about when we pray, we worship. Prayer is a worship. And tonight, when you bow down your head or bow down your heart, or when you're driving down the street, or when you're praying at the table, or when you're out there mowing your yard. I used to pray a lot on this lawnmower out here we had one day. It was a riding lawnmower. I prayed a lot on that lawnmower, man, just driving. It took me about 2 hours to cut the church's grass. For 2 hours, we just talked to God. Friend, even though I was sitting on that lawnmower, I felt like I was ascending into the presence of God. Tonight, that's prayer tonight. Prayer is you ascending into His presence. Friend, you're not just showing up at somebody's gate tonight. You're coming into God's presence. Friend, you're not just coming up to your buddy tonight. You're not coming up to your old good pal. You're not coming up to an old friend of yours. You're coming to God. Amen? And you're in His presence. And man, while you're telling Him some things and you're expressing and communicating with Him, you're in His court. Oh, I know you might be right here, and your body might be sitting right here, and you might be laying down right here. Oh, but when you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, oh, you find an ascension into the throne room of grace. And friend, there's a worship there. That's why I believe tonight when somebody's praying, you don't get up and you don't do nothing. The only thing you can do is breathe. I believe it's disrespectful for anybody to move. While somebody's praying, I believe they're in worship. I believe it ain't, and boy, churches are bad about this, and I'm not going to get on nobody or say anybody's wrong or right, but many times preachers, when they leave, they'll say, okay, listen, so you pray, and as they're praying, he's walking down and going to the door. I've seen many times at invitations, they'll say, okay, I'm going to begin to pray, and to begin to pray, and the pianist and the song leader come up and get ready. I've seen before taking up an offering, they say, okay, we're going to pray. They begin to pray, and people's in their wallets, and people's in their purses, and people are moving around. I've seen it too when they're praying. People are walking back and going to the restroom and messing around. Oh, listen, friend. That's not the time to do that. We're talking about ascending into the presence of Holy God. We're talking about having access to God's power tonight. Right, that's prayer. That's prayer tonight. It's not just saying, now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. It's more than that. Friend, it's a time of a picture of prayer. Friend, it means tonight, that word, it means to arrive. That word of sin means you have arrived. As soon as you bow down and bow your head and bow your heart in a spiritual speaking, tonight you said, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And friend, you are ascending up to the Father and you're arriving into His presence. And that's all. But now, do you get there and arrive, but it also means to arise. In other words, when you come into His presence tonight, boy, I don't know if you can picture this or not, but you can just think about it coming to God, and you can think of it maybe of an altar. I know our minds are not big enough to really grasp this, but if you could think about God and His holiness and God and His justice and God in His perfectness and God in His compassion and love tonight. And as you are here and He's there, and as you pray, you go there and you arrive where He's at. And then you arose where He's at. Oh, we're talking about ascending to Him. And then that last word, it means to abide. So we arrive in the throne room of grace. We arise unto God. And we abode as we're praying. And as we're in His presence and His power. Well, that's prayer tonight. Now tonight, I believe that exactly what everybody wants to do. If you go like to Psalms chapter 15, I turn there quickly. Verse 1 says, Lord, who shall abide in Thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell there? Lord, who's going to get where You're at? Tonight, I can say to you, tonight, you can pray all you want to. You can pray every day if you want to. And you can pray all the time you want to. But if you don't get into the tabernacle of God, if you don't get into the hill of God, if you don't get there, friend, where God's at tonight, then your prayer means absolutely nothing. Oh, but prayer is getting there. I want to show you number two tonight, not only the picture of prayer, but I want to show you the pursuance of prayer. In verse 6, it tells us tonight, remember the question, who? And then it says, this is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob, Selah. See, tonight, prayer is pursuing. Prayer is not accidental. Prayer is not fun. Prayer is not an event. Prayer is not an obligation. Prayer tonight is a pursuance. There in verse 6, the Bible says He identifies the sect of people who will pray. He says, this is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob, Selah. So we find a generation, we find an age, we find a period tonight of people. It's telling us that there's other generations that have not sought God. There's other ages and other people who don't do this. But He begins to describe that this is the generation that seeketh God. And so we find tonight that there is a pursuance of prayer. And I would ask you tonight, do you and are you of that generation that seeks God? I mean, is it to the place in your life when you won't even leave your house until you have sought God? I mean, is it to the place of your life tonight that you won't buy a car or a home or even go on vacation without seeking God? Tonight, is it in your life yet that you won't even come to the house of God until you have sought God? See, this generation seeketh God. This generation is one who pursues God. And why do they pursue God? Oh, because they know what it means to have access to the power of God. They know what it means to ascend into the presence of God. And that generation seeks it. They don't have to be forced to pray. They don't have to be told to pray. They don't have to be tricked into praying. They don't have to go to a prayer meeting to pray. They don't have to come to the place where somebody makes them feel bad about not praying. They are pursuers of prayer. I mean, that's what they do. They seek prayer. Seek prayer. Oh, there are ones tonight who identifies this sect. Number two, this clarifies a seeking people. Now tonight, the Bible says they seek Him. Now who do they seek tonight? Well, verse 8 tells us, who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Wouldn't that be one that you need to seek? If you're going to have access to the power of God, surely you would want to seek Him tonight. For He is the one tonight, according to the Scripture, He's the one strong and mighty, and the Lord mighty in battle tonight. Hey, friend, listen, we're in a battle. We're in a battle for our families tonight. Hey, husbands, you're in a battle for your wife. Hey, wives, you're in a battle for your husbands. Hey, mom and daddy, you're in battle for your children. Hey, church, you're in battle for your church. You're in battle for your soul, friend. You're in battle in this world in which we live for your testimony and for your witness tonight and for your name, your integrity, your character, friend. Listen, everything and anything tonight is trying to destroy us, to stop us, to correct us, to detour us. Friend, find ourselves, friend, on the sideline, away and out and disqualified in every way. There's a battle raging. And boy, wouldn't it be good tonight we seek Him. Who's Him? The Lord of glory. Mighty and strong in battle. Hey, friend, He'll beat the devil every time. Oh, listen, He'll overcome every situation there is that you present to Him. Oh, listen, friend, He's never lost a battle. He's never lost one on the field. Oh, He's never come to the place where He's defeated. Never come to the place where, friend, He backed up. Never a time did God turn His head and run from the enemy. Oh, He's a strong and mighty one. He's the Lord, the King of the battle. Oh, I say number two, the Bible says they sought His face. Not only did they seek His power, but they sought His presence. You see, it's one thing tonight just to seek the power of God. Oh, God, do this. Oh, God, do that. Oh, God, take care of that. Oh, God, save them. Oh, God, change that. Oh, God, give this. Oh, God, do that. Oh, but it's another thing tonight to seek His face. So those that are seekers tonight, those that is a generation tonight that seek God's face. You know, tonight, I believe what really has happened in our churches tonight is there's an absence of the Holy Ghost of God. Now, we can accept that and continue to die. Or tonight, we can reevaluate where we are, look down deep in our hearts. This thing about prayer tonight, I believe, is vital. And I believe what's taking place in people's lives today is they're praying for the power of God, but not many are praying for the presence of God. See, they're praying for God to do all this stuff around them. And for them, and about them. But is anybody just praying and seeking Thy face? Lord, I don't want nothing from You. I just want You here. God, I don't care whatever. Hey, if You do nothing else for the rest of my life, You've done more than I've ever deserved. I just want You to be into Your presence. And I'm seeking Your face. God, I want to be where You are. God, I want You to be where I am. God, I want to be in where You are, Lord, Thy face. I want to be face to face with God. I want my preacher to meet with God this week. I want my Sunday school teacher to meet with God this week. I want the members of Glory Baptist Church to meet with God this week. I want the missionaries of Glory Baptist Church to meet with God this week. Praying that every single one of us tonight would seek God's face tonight. Not just His power, but His presence. I believe this church would be changed. I was listening to a guy preach. He's talking about revivals under Jonathan Edwards and the Wells and other ones. He said a lot of people think revival is when you go out and you start knocking doors and you bring them in and say, okay, we're having a revival meeting. And all of a sudden you get the church full because you went out and knocked on the doors. But he said, that's not revival. He said, it didn't happen in Jonathan Edwards' day like that. It didn't happen in the Wells that day. It didn't happen in other revivals that they had in those days. He said, here's what revival is. Revival is God's people. God's people seeking God's face. And God, around the community, brings them in. Brings them in. Nobody knocks on their door. God knocks on their heart. He said, when revival's taking place and when God's people is seeking My face, He said, then I am blessing those people that are receiving the blessings. He said, I will call the community and they'll come to your church. Isn't that something tonight? He said, that's what happened. He said, the house got full. But the house just don't get full and people come in here and just talk about it. They fall on their face and get right with God. They begin to confess their sin. They begin to get right with each other. They begin to get right with their family members. They begin to get right with their spouses and their children. Things are happening because God's Spirit is moving through the way of prayer. And tonight we find to see in the Scripture tonight that the Bible says this is the generation that seeketh God or seeketh Him. Are you that generation? Do you seek His presence and do you seek His power? Well, tonight, I tell you, that's the pursuance of prayer.
You're going to have to pray tonight. You ain't going to just do it accidentally. Let me tell you something. The flesh don't want to pray.
But how bad do you want God's presence? How bad do you want your family saved? How bad do you want this church to see other souls saved? How bad do you want to see your preacher preach under the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God?
How bad do you want to see Brother Robert Bottom down in Harris County, Fort Bend Jail, leading sinners and leading criminals to Christ? Amen. How bad do we want it, church? What sacrifice will we make? Will we get up an hour earlier? Will we sleep? Will we not go to sleep, but maybe an hour later?
What are we going to take for you and I to decide that we're going to be pursuing a prayer? We're not going to just pray when it's time to pray. We're going to pray in pursuing of it, seeking it. And so we find tonight the pursuance of prayer. We find tonight the picture of prayer. We find tonight, thirdly, the privileged of prayer. Who are these? Tonight, who are they? Who is it tonight who has the privilege to ascend into the very power of God? Who is it tonight that has the access to the very presence of God? Who is it tonight that is the generation that seek Him, that seek His face? Who is that? Who are the privileged? Well, number one, I want you to notice there in verse 4, he says, those they are those who have an outward demonstration. You see, tonight the Bible says in verse 4, he that hath clean hands. Remember our theme, be clean in 2015? Those are those tonight who are clean on the outside. There is an outward demonstration. The Bible says concerning that tonight, there in that scripture, clean hands, the word clean would mean innocent tonight. It would mean free from guilt or punishment. That's what it means to be clean. You see, you and I tonight have to deal with the world. We understand that. Every one of us tonight has to deal with the world in which we live. I tell you, the second thing we have to deal with is flesh. The third thing we have to deal with is Satan himself. Amen? Or maybe the evil spirits, or maybe the demons. Now, if we're really true to ourselves tonight, none of us can stay clean. Right? None of us are perfect. And none of us tonight has come to the place where we can say we have arrived. Amen? And so we find ourselves in a peculiar situation. God says, those who have clean hands physically or outwardly demonstrates cleanness. Those are the ones who ascend as excess. That's the generation. But tonight, as we know of our enemies, here's how the Christian life works. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says that if we confess our sins, that He, the Lord of glory, is faithful and just. Not faithful and fair. Remember, the wages of sin is death. So if He was fair, every one of us would go to hell for the sin we've committed. But because He's just, amen, and the blood of Christ can forgive us. So he that is, who confesses sin is faithful, he that is faithful and just shall forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now here's how the Christian walk works. We don't intentionally dirty our outward demonstration. In other words, we don't, as a Christian, we don't go out and on purpose and habitually and practice things in our lives outwardly that are wrong and evil. The Christians don't do that. Now, as we live in this world because of the world, the flesh, and sin, or Satan, we find ourselves slipping. We find ourselves stumbling. We find ourselves falling, and we call all that just sin. Now, the first time we do that, of the many times we're going to do that, we find ourselves coming under this place of saying, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of telling that lie. Forgive me of lusting after that. Forgive me of being angry. Forgive me of doing that wrong. And the Bible says a promise that He is faithful and just to forgive us from our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We find ourselves getting dirty, but then we find ourselves becoming clean. Dirty, clean. Dirty, clean. Dirty, clean. That's the Christian life. Amen? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28 and in verse 13, I'll read it to you. It says this. The Bible says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them have mercy." What does that mean to you and I tonight? Well, it means this. It means that you and I tonight, we have the ability to cover our sins. We have that ability. And while we cover our sins, ourselves outwardly become dirty. We demonstrate filthiness. But tonight, if we would confess them, yes, I did it. You know, a lot of people have a hard time with confessing sin. They want to blame somebody. They want to tell you the circumstances of reason why. They want to make up something in order to justify their actions. Tonight, when a real Christian has a real sin in their lives and they come under real conviction of the Holy Ghost of God, they're just going to come out and confess. And they're going to say, it's not their fault. It's not that situation. It's not because of the circumstance I am. I have sinned. Bottom line. Not only do I have sinned, and I confess that, but I forsake it. I throw it away. I remove it. I let it go. I'm not going to do that no more. The Bible says there's mercy in that. Forsaking it. Letting it go. Friend, if you continue to do same sin, there's no repentance in that. There's no confessing of that. That's not confessing your sin if you continue to do it. Repentance tonight is a changed heart and a changed mind. So we find tonight, if we're going to be clean on an outward way, an outward demonstration, we're going to have to be one that would, according to the Scripture, be the one who, as Bible says, has clean hands. Now look at chapter 15 and verse 2. The Bible says, "He that walketh uprightly." Of course, the question is in verse 1, says, "Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill?" Sort of the same question. Look what it says. I want you to read all five of these verses. I'm going to read it slow so we can get it. "He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved." That's one whose outward demonstration of being clean. That's who enters into this prayer. Tonight, if you could enter into prayer tonight, and as you do, your outward is right with God. See, tonight, I believe the curse on prayers or on prayers is this. Is they want to get a hold of God because they have so many things they need to talk to, but they just can't walk upright. That don't work. They just can't have clean hands. Tonight, right now, you know in an outward way there's sin in your life. You can't get there. Let me tell you what's a mockery of God is when somebody asks you to pray and you pray out loud and you have demonstrated your body or your life to be dirty. It would be better to say to the preacher, "Preacher, I have to decline today." Never heard that before, Brother Larry. That's true. That's true. Your prayer don't mean nothing anyway. If you outwardly are dirty. So we find today that just because you pray, hey, how about when you get down before your family or pray at your family's house and you got dirtiness on you? There's an outward demonstration in your life that you're just not right with God. And you say, okay, I'm going to pray today, and you pray. What a hypocrite. What a hypocrite. You say, brother, what should I do? You should bow down before God and get yourself clean. Then pray. Oh, does this make sense tonight? Let me tell you a second. I got to close because time has went by, but I got more, but I can't give more. Number two, I want you to notice in the scripture here in verse 4, it says, and a pure heart. That's an outward demonstration, but then there's an inward consecration. In other words, tonight, that word pure means clear heart. Clear. Now, there's some things tonight it means free and it means empty. Let me just say that. Free and empty. Tonight, there's some things tonight that you and I can see people do as far as dirt or sin in life, right? But, buddy, when you start talking about heart, we can't see that. We don't know tonight who has jealousy in their heart tonight. We don't know tonight who has some sort of maliciousness in their heart, a bitterness. We don't know tonight who has some anger going on, covetousness. We don't know. So what the Bible's teaching, though, is listen. If we're going to go and we're going to have access to the power of God, and we're going to ascend into the presence of God, and we're going to be of this generation that seeketh God and seeketh His face, then we're going to have to be the people who are not an outwardly demonstration of clean, but we've got to have some inward consecration. Our heart's got to be clear. See, our lips and our life have to match. Amen? Our walk and our talk needs to compare it to itself. Our practice and our prayer must be the same. Amen, Brother Larry. I know you're not no near tower as I am. The fact of the matter is, prayer is essential for the life of this church and your family. But if you can't outwardly demonstrate cleanliness, you don't have no inward consecration that's a pure heart tonight. Those two things are not together. You're not entered to the throne room of God. You can be squeaky clean on the outside and dirty on the inside. And your prayers mean nothing to God. Tonight, you could come to a place where you sound like you have prayed just like Moses prayed. But your heart's dirty. You got lust in your heart tonight. You got pride in your heart. You got bitterness in your heart. Friend, you are unforgiving some people. I don't care how of a great prayer that you pray tonight. And people come to you and say, oh, what a wonderful prayer. Tonight, it didn't hit the presence of God nor the power of God. We have from God the instructions on how to pray. And we've got to get clean to do that. There's an upward separation. Verse 4, Bible says, who hath lifted up his soul unto vanity. That word vanity is talking about idols. Idols. You say, Brother Larry, there's no idols. I mean, come on. What do you mean there's idols? Well, you see, what the Bible's saying, there is an upward separation. Have I from my soul separated myself from idols? What could be an idol? Well, you know, tonight you say, well, an idol is maybe a statue, or maybe it's a picture or an image. Or, you know, in our mind we're thinking about different things that we saw in the past, or some things we saw on TV or in books or someplace like that, that they look, they bow down to it and all this kind of things, and made out of concrete or cement or marble or metal or glass or whatever it's made out of. But you know, tonight, an idol could be you, yourself. You idolize you. That could be an idol. Oh, you are you, and you're your best hero. You love you. It's all about you. You do what you do when you want to do it. Nobody tells you what to do. There is no authority in your life. You're an idol tonight to your own self. If you have no authority in your life, and you are the authority of your life, you're an idol to you. If you have nobody over you, nobody who to instruct you, nobody that can correct you, nobody that you have to be accountable to, tonight I'd be afraid and say, God, I'm an idol to myself. I tell you something else, an idol is sin. You know people who smoke cigarettes? That's an idol. Did you know that? Sports is an idol. Absolutely. Tonight, I'm just saying some things. Sin in people's lives become idols because they worship that idol more than they worship God. They give to that idol more than they give to God. And they will trust. And that whatever it is has more power and authority over them than God has. So we find, he says, from the soul not lifted up. So there's separation upwardly of idols tonight. The society of music, dance, things of that nature. Clothing. Jewelry. It's those songs, they could become idols to you. We find a third thing, or fourth thing, is a downward appreciation. Look at verse 5, and I close with this thought. The Bible says, he. Who is he? He is those who are who. Who are who? Those are those who, this is the generation. They're all working together now. He says, those who have clean hands, and those who have pure hearts, and those who don't lift up their soul into vanity and sworn deceitfully, it's those that shall receive the blessings of the Lord. In other words, there's a downward appreciation. God shows three things. He shows the favor of God. See, what is the blessing of the Lord? That's a $1 million question. Because sometimes you say, well, listen, I've got a wife. And she's not the right wife. You say, that's a blessing from the Lord. Boy, I've been praying for this car, and I got this car, man. I finally got this car. What a blessing. Man, that was a curse. You see, tonight, a blessing is one who has clean hands, a pure heart, who has an outward demonstration of cleanness, has an inward of sanctification or consecration. They have a upward separation, and then they will have a downward. God will bless them. That's a blessing of the Lord. See, when God gives to you, that's a blessing. Not when you get yourself. Not when you choose what you choose without getting into the throne room of grace. Oh, tonight, church, what is tonight the very privilege of prayer? Is receiving the blessings of the Lord. But you got to get clean. Your mouth, and your heart, your walk, and your talk must come together. Help us, church. Help us, Lord. Oh, we need help. As we stand to our feet and our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and we find that tonight only God in Christ can make all this possible. None of us tonight can do what the Scripture has said. Only in Christ can we do it. In Christ tonight. If you're not a Christian tonight, you'll never be able to achieve it. But if you are a Christian, you're going to be able to. But in Christ, are you going to be able to? It's going to take a lot of prayer, a lot of confession of sin, a lot of forsaking of sin, a lot of searching of hearts, and a lot of making right with God. Well, if there's anything tonight that our church needs is prayer, anything our families need is prayer, our country need is prayer, that Jerusalem need is prayer. Oh, we need prayer, but we need clean hands and pure hearts. Oh, God, help us tonight not to be satisfied with just praying a prayer. Help us not to be just content with just saying something from our lips and without getting ourselves clean before you. God, give us pure hearts, clear hearts, free hearts. God, make us clean tonight, Lord. Free. God, make us free. Well, if you need to come tonight, pray, won't you come? If you need to be saved tonight, won't you come get saved? Won't you come give your heart to Jesus tonight? Won't you put your faith?